Welcome to our show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
All right. My instincts spot on that that opening music. And
you know what, Mike?
Yes.
I have a new one ready to go, but I clicked the wrong button there. So
Show. Josh, that's fine. That works out fine as far as I'm concerned. I'm very cool with that because
occasionally, but we're going to mix them up.
I promised Josh that I would working with my partner Al Inverness to create some new music for the show, and I can take zero credit. Look, I don't even care if I write a lyric. It's not creating. It's not. It's not even remotely creating. I did it sitting in the car line to pick up my kid and then finished it up last evening. But I have to say the end result, which is what really counts, is something that is pleasant. Now, what did I send you? Two or three yesterday?
You sent me three. Two of them were about 20 seconds long.
Okay.
But Rob, how do you feel about a 3.5 minute countdown?
I love
it. One he sent was really long, and that's
The idea of a 3.5 because then you can start the countdown before we even sit down.
No. Well, hold
could
on
you
a
imagine
second.
Mike sitting there for 3.5 minutes waiting? I don't think that'll work.
No. Well, but I mean that's with the power of the editing bay. That's the whole thing.
That's the one that's ready to go.
So one, I know already because you texted me back that you said one of these new opening themes was something you were particularly fond of. Is that correct?
I clicked on it in the car driving home last night, and I may have listened to it a few times.
Okay, so you like that.
It's a nice common.
I know you music. Love to tease, Mike. I know it, but after all of this talk, it's killing me. So it's got to be killing the listeners. Can we hear just maybe 10
Well, I want to first, before we do that, I want to find out which one he's going to drop on us here. Are you going to go with the kind of countryfied one? Are you going to go with the Billie Eilish kind? Or what other? Why are you laughing?
Let's go with the one that I said was my favorite, which was a little creepy, a little soft.
Why are you laughing at Billie Eilish?
I'm laughing not at Billie Eilish, but the fact that the two styles you would choose are country music and Billie Eilish.
Well, I mean,
they're mutually exclusive.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why I'm an inch deep and a mile wide. And, you know, you can't put me in any musical box. That's the way I roll, baby.
That's what my father said.
All right, well, this is the live reaction from Rob, and let's see what he thinks about this.
Rob, this one is called Soft Teeth on Starlight.
Hey, how about that? Turn it up.
Don't get happy, but please don't cry. TMOS is always here. You are not alone. There's nothing to fear. May the odds be in your favor. Be at your back. Listen to Mike O'Mara.
Soothing.
I like that.
I am, from note two, in love with it. I think it sounds like a top 40 record. However, I don't know if it conveys the energy we want leading up to the show.
Oh, you sound like a bad program director. God, who gives a shit?
Energy,
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, come on now.
You asked my opinion.
I know. Conveys the energy, but that sounds like program director speak. We're shaking it up. We're shaking it up
like
a little
bit. Would you like to hear another?
I would.
All right, go ahead.
It's time for you fudge cutters to slide up to the bar. The TMOS family knows exactly who you are. And before the words are spoken from those guys you know are broken, turn it up, the Mike O'Mara Show.
I like the hay at the end. That's my favorite part of that. That's the way that
great.
Goes.
And also the lyrics are more custom to our show. I think that is a more effective opening track.
Now, what? I forgot the third one. I remember that one, and I remember the mellow one. What's the third one?
I believe it's the same lyrics you wrote, but a different tune. Let's see.
Okay. Thank you for using Fudge Cutter. Fudge Cutters to slide up to the bar. The TMOS family knows exactly who you are.
And before the words are spoken from those guys, this one. You know we're broken. Turn it up. The Mike O'Mara Show. Ding, 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 ding. And more to come. More to come.
They're both, you know what? That's great too. But to me, the clear winner is number two.
Number two? Yeah. Well, you know what? As I say every day at some point, I said the clear winner is always number two for me.
You don't say it every day, Mike, and that's the problem.
That is the problem, and it's been the problem. By the way, I've got my myriad of medical professionals that I've lined up for the next couple of months, so we'll see what happens with that, you know? Take it out, Doc. Take the bad part out. That's what I say to my doctors. Take the bad part out.
Yeah. Do you get essentially the same pre-clip videos when you clip on YouTube? Do you ever get ones that just keep coming back and back and back?
Oh my God, everybody does. Yeah.
So the one I've been getting is regarding digestion, and it has a doctor who looks like he might not be a great doctor, but I think he probably has a degree, and he refers to as the poop corner. Have you seen this guy?
No. Send him along. Please send me a link. I'd love to see that. I'm getting now, because I've been obsessing on it, shoulder correction videos. Uh-huh. And I am about 70% sure that my issue is what's referred to as a bicep tendonitis. That's what it is.
Right.
And it's the front of the shoulder, but it hurts like hell, like right there. That hurts. But when I reach up like that, no pain. So that's kind of the test,
well,
that you've got.
Well, you'll do great in school then.
Yeah.
Because when I'm raising my hand.
Hey! Exactly.
Hey, lady. Hey, how are you?
I hope you just have a cast like that. Look, stuck up there for 3 months to heal.
You know, the old people that I deal with are just so in their bubble, and it's very difficult to respond. They set up the game about a week in advance that I'm going to play, and you get an email and back and say, you're in. It's real simple. I mean, I literally write back, I'm in, period. And that's it. Well, this time I had to go a little further where I said, I'm in, just an FYI, dealing with a shoulder issue. I think I'll be able to go. I will let you know as soon if there's a problem. I'll let you know ASAP. And then, of course, the crickets, where nothing is done. Communicating with the people that have been on this planet for a while is a little bit difficult. I'm going to get to that later in the show, because I want to talk about this is so real me. This is so my real angst when it comes to communicating with family members. And Rob, I really want you to put your non-aggressive, non-confrontational, objective hat on when this comes up. I'm teasing it, but that's what it'll be. But I thought,
so
why
you're looking
not?
For advice, perhaps, and you want
no,
me, my
I'm
take
looking,
on it.
I'm looking at. Do you think my negative reaction is just me being me, or whatever? We'll get to that. We'll
you
get
need
to that.
Me to be on the outside.
We'll get to it sooner than later. Sooner than later. But my kid this morning and yesterday afternoon, a bit of a handful as far as attitude. Anybody that's got a 12-year-old, Josh knows what I'm talking about. Where they can be little demons.
Sure.
I wanted to get some advice on how to deal with that. Rob was talking about algorithms and videos that popped up. I thought we would start the show today with some advice when it comes to children, when it comes to raising them, how to treat them, what to do with them. Let's go to Chelsea Handler, who always has some words of wisdom for each and every one of us. Let's
wake up, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I get to sleep to however late I feel like it, because I don't have any fucking children. And because I don't have kids, that means I don't have to go anywhere today. I don't have to go to Disneyland, Legoland, Color Me Mine, Build-A-Bear, Yogurtland, the zoo. I don't have to go to any of those places. Not once, not ever. Kids, they're not that great.
It's very true.
There it is. That's a little reminder that I thought I'd share with everybody today. Why not? So that's Chelsea.
They have their good parts too. Kids, you can make them take out the trash. There's a benefit there.
But don't you think, and in my case, it would be walking the dogs would be my taking out the trash.
Right.
And don't you think that that is balanced by the pain of making those requests? And by the way, Josh, I can't stop looking at your Timu headphones that you have up in the back there. You're beautiful.
Oh, are those distracting you?
No, no, I think it's just nice.
Are they pink or salmon? What color do we have?
They're orange, I think. Or the Orioles.
Okay, well, they're not clearly orange because I had to ask what the color. It's not like an Oreo.
It might be your monitor. It might be, it could be
failing mind. I don't know.
Who knows? But look, when we get Michael to routinely take out the dogs, which is the number one chore that we battle about.
Is that a morning activity or an
app? Well, it's all day. You got to take him out all day.
I know, but does he have to do it in the morning, though?
Not in the morning. And usually the drill works like this. 6 a.m., alarm, I'm up, jump in the shower, come out, grab my son. That's his favorite thing to do right there. That's what he likes. He likes to stop me in my tracks and say something that is gross.
That's only like Mike, that's like my third favorite thing to do. I have things I like better than that.
It is really, really totally knocked me off the rails here. I'm trying to think what I was going to say.
Okay, you get up, you take a shower.
Yeah, and then go to get him, and he can be varying degrees. The worst thing I ever did, and he still will wake up like that occasionally, is I pretended that he was late. As a joke, and I mean it was such an a-hole move because who wants to wake up? And I went in and I went, Michael, it's 8 o'clock, and it's like he got up, burst into tears, and it was I'll never do that again. It was horrible. It was really horrible. It was like Dad, like that, and the anxiety.
He doesn't burst into tears every morning like my kids used to.
Did they really?
No.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's mean. But if you want to do Saturday, Sunday, hey, it's Monday.
Oh, that's a good one.
Them. And if they cry, they've got the whole day to recover.
I like that.
That's a great way of justifying it. I will say this, that the last periods of pickup and drop-off have been really problematic.
Like why?
When he gets in the car and he's quiet, that's not like him. So I know something's off. And then there was just this attitude, and the attitude carried all the way into the house. This morning, I give him like three different reminders, and I've been taking him to the bus, which he hates. He wants to be chauffeur driven all the way the half hour to his school, which I don't have time to do. And so he comes out in his little whatever that those under-roo things the kids are wearing nowadays with the the what are they called, the boxer briefs that he wears with like Bart Simpson on them. Do you know what I'm talking about, Josh?
Okay.
I know what boxer briefs are.
Well, no, but they're I don't know. There's something. There's always a thing for kids.
There's always a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Right now it's squishy toys. That's their latest
These
deal.
Boxer briefs are they're serving as pajamas. They're not his outfit for the day, right?
No. He comes out and he's just wearing his boxer briefs and comes
his
out.
Boxer briefs day at school.
Sits on the corner of the couch, and I'm like, Michael, we got to get going. And he like the eyes are closed and it's like, Dad, I know. And I'm like, no, you don't do that. And then by the time I dropped him off at the bus, things had stabilized. And there was an I love you, and hopped out of the car, and everything was right with the world. But it's been a little bit problematic when it comes to dealing with the kids.
Have you had your spring break yet?
No, we have not. And by the way, he gets two because of the glitterati that has to go away in
the
winter.
Must be
nice. Yeah, it's a winter break and a spring break, which is pretty cool. Yeah,
I think that's kind of nice.
I mean,
most of the kids in Florida are doing that right now.
My father died, and we only got 5 days. So I hope he enjoys his time.
Would you have wanted more?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking.
I think you know what I want, Mike? I don't want more for me. I want less for others.
Are you saying you want
spring
break?
I get it. I understand. Okay. Yeah. I understand that. The spring break is something where even though he just had one when all the other kids were in school, he says, yeah, I wish I had. You know, it's the age right now. It's the turbo age where they would like to be out in a cabin in the woods, fishing, hunting, doing whatever they, playing video games. And,
hunting, gathering.
And, yes, hunting and gathering, eating berries. March, what?
March is also the turn where now they are focused on summer's almost here.
Yes. Yeah, where they flip it around, they flip the script on this. Yeah, getting them up is just becoming a thing. That's that's really what it is. And
do you think you can nip it in the bud?
No, and make I don't.
It, you think it's just an ongoing steam train?
No, I don't have any. I don't have any expectations of being able to nip it in the bud.
It's also that the thing that's happening is them becoming teenagers.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah. And I look, I don't know how to combat it. I'll probably be taking to my little screen and researching the shite out of it to make sure it's A-okay. But let that look, that's my son.
All right.
I want to talk, if I may, about my inner government and what's going on in my head. Because, you know, I think we have a jingle about it that we played earlier about being broken. We all are. That's why we do what we do. I was thinking about, made an appointment with a shoulder specialist to just take a look and give me a final diagnosis as to what I have and what I need to do and all that stuff. And I went to the same place where they installed robotic hips in my body, which to me has always been something truly amazing, that they can cut you open and put a new joint in your body and it will be. And I was thinking about Ed. I'll just refer to him. That's his first name. Dr. Ed, not Mr. Ed. And how what we do compared to what, and what most people do compared to what these guys do. And I was talking to Carla about it, that this guy not only has a medical degree, but he has an engineering degree from MIT. That's how hard
he's a worker and a lawyer. I mean, that's
ridiculous. MIT is an engineering school.
That's an old joke about, you know, someone that's an over.
Well, there are. There are plenty of people that have done that too. And the level of, I said, let me tell you what the biggest difference is. I said, this guy would have two surgical suites operating at the same time. And his job was not to cut you open or sew you back up. His job was when the time came in for the joint installation. He was the guy with the precision to come in and do that. And I thought about what these guys do, and what it is perfection. And, you know, so many professions, there really isn't a need for that in the medical field. When you really cut right down to it, it's the need for perfection. That they, you know, they don't have the ability like we all do. And I think about it in particular what we do.
Oh, yeah.
And how shabbily it's done, really, compared to the perfection of a surgeon.
Yeah, there are very few businesses that require it. Medicine is one. Also, a car wash. You want a car wash to be perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
But now they're automatic.
They're automatic, and you know what? That's what's wrong with them. You know, if they could bring back hand-washed cars, your son would be getting up every day at 5:30 with a smile on his face.
Oh, and we'd have a little extra cash coming into the house, which would be fantastic.
Yes.
So I was thinking just in terms of how much I admire someone, in particular a surgeon, who can get in there and do that type of thing. So I don't know why I brought that up, but I just thought it was interesting that, you know, when you think about our little floppy lives that, you know, we have, and I love what I do, don't get me wrong, but I just don't, you know, I compare it to other professions and it pales in comparison.
Car wash, of course, a joke. Can we think of any other profession that requires perfection?
Airline pilot.
That's true. And, you know, to a certain extent, plumbers. Seriously, you have to make sure nothing leaks or the entire house is at risk.
Anyone that I hire to do a job, I expect perfection.
I would say.
And I appreciate that, Josh. Thank you.
It is not always achieved, but there is no real margin for error with a police officer when they are in a difficult situation. They have to, they have to respond to very, and there are gray areas because you're dealing with other people. So that's where it gets a little sloppy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, surgeon is there. Let's see.
Drive-thru
airline
worker.
Pilot. What's that?
The drive-thru worker. I don't want to get my food mixed up.
Obviously, this is landing on my two cohorts that don't share my my esteem for the medical profession.
It leans towards St. Augustine where the problem is, because he's about to say the quality control people at Skittles, you want to have the proper distribution. The Coca-Cola guy, you got to have the right number of bubbles. Well, hot dogs. I mean,
the M&M guy, what if a peanut ends up in the non-peanuts?
You know what?
Kill someone.
It's probably happened, but when you think about all of our food services, by and large, packaged foods in America, we have a pretty high standard, even though the restrictions are being lifted right now to make sure that they can have a free reign. Maybe there won't be peanuts. Maybe you'll get like a hazelnut in your M&Ms with all this lack of regulation.
And what about you always get a piece of an onion ring if you get fries at Burger King? That's no good.
You know, he mentions the one food chain where I think he might be right about that, too.
Well, that's the food chain with problems.
I really think
you're right. That's so true.
The equivalent of getting a little nub of onion ring in your French fries is, I find it one of the most offensive things in
I am bothered by it because I have to think what went wrong to get to that point. And it happens always.
Let me address the comments, all right?
All right.
Nobody tell Mike. Is that why you put it in our comments that I read every day? Nobody tell Mike that medical malpractice is the third leading cause of death in America. So not perfection. And I didn't, maybe I misspoke when I said it has to be perfect. The pursuit of perfection.
Yeah.
That it can be a life and death experience. Of course. And I think it is the human factor.
If you put it in those terms of the pursuit of perfection, then we're all doing that.
Well, most of us.
I don't even know why I brought this up. I really don't know. But I just, the margins for error, you have to be more skilled. You have to be more trained. Yes, you have to be more careful. That's what I was saying, Greg. Yes.
One dies if our microphones pop.
Precisely. Well, die laughing.
Ah!
By the way, super chats are welcome and on this particular
encouraged.
Show. Encouraged. I want to get to my angst. This is...
I feel this is going to be something because this is twice now you've teased it and you're kind of avoiding it.
Rob, if you were to look at me and my life and throw out a guess as to one of my more... I don't want to say difficult, but Super Chat comes from Greg Klein. Thank you very much.
He's Mike's back pursuit in our good of perfection graces.
Every day. What Thank a nice guy. Well,
Greg,
that is your angst.
No, my interpersonal relationship angst.
Yeah.
What would you say would be one of the more, I don't want to use negative words. One of the more, but they're all negative, problematic, strained, difficult, challenging. One of those who would fall into that category, do you think?
In what respect? Like your attitude towards them
and their attitude towards me?
Yeah, I would have to say not all of them, but some of the
Oh, he broke up. He broke up right at the key moment. When do you leave? When do you leave?
Apparently right now, because you're not happy. My guess is that it would be not all of them, but some of them, the people you golf with.
No.
Okay.
Think closer to me.
Could it be your beloved wife?
No.
Too close.
Too close. A little less close, but in the same category.
Josh, do you have a thought on this?
He's in mourning, ladies and gentlemen.
I do.
Yes. Oh, go ahead, Josh.
It's got to be family.
It's family. It's in particular my sister. Because I believe that we have had plenty of death energy on the show over the last couple of weeks, and it's been a difficult time. Rob has done a marvelous job coming back on the show because Rob knows what I've known for a long time. When you come back and do this, it's a good escape for an hour and a half
to come in and do this. It truly is helpful.
But yesterday was the 10th anniversary, believe it or not, 10 years. My mom passed away 10 years ago yesterday. And I don't think I'm overreacting, but I think this is all about me. This is all about me.
Well, I mean, the name of the show is the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's talk about Mike O'Mara.
I'm talking about in the exchange.
So was that, was this a phone call or a text message?
It was a text message.
See, that's
she doesn't
the problem.
Do a lot of talking, does she, on the phone? She's very busy.
Well, she does with people she calls. On
all right, let me rephrase
about.
It. Your sister is very busy, and she seldom speaks to you on the phone, but often she will text.
We communicate via this text usually every year on the anniversary of my mom's death.
But okay. That means you get to put whatever tone you want on it.
I wrote
actually
this.
What she wanted.
Yeah.
I said, thinking of you today. Wish I was there to give you a hug. Let's catch up soon. I am thinking today that no daughter was ever better to her mother than you. Here's to Mom. Carl and I will toast her memory tonight. That's what I wrote to my sister yesterday.
And may I guess how she replied?
Go
Some
ahead.
Sort of frog meme.
Oh, see, I was thinking a simple, why today?
Oh, now that's dealing her a bad
always,
hand.
She was the best daughter to my mom that anyone could have. Yeah. She took care of my mom and was
you
so
were a
kind.
Pretty good daughter too, though.
I was a good daughter too, but make no mistake, Kathy ran point. She was up there with her. You know, she brought her into their family during the years that my situation perhaps not as stable as certain others. There you go. The response. I don't know why this bugged me.
Okay.
The response is aw. A-W-W-W.
Wait, nothing else?
No.
That's it?
So we were a good team, especially toward the end. 10 years seems impossible. XO.
I think, you know what? I can see where that might bother you. Yeah, that's very sweet. And that awe is, that's replacing thank you, and you're right, and that's indicating that thought. It is. I mean, when you say awe.
But she throws it all away with, we were a good team. As in, Mom and I were a good team. Where were you?
No, I think it was me. It was me.
She was referring to Mike. Yeah,
we were a good team.
I misunderstood that.
That's a pretty good bone to be thrown.
You've confirmed, Rob, what I suspected. And
what's
this
that?
This is how I feel. I am, my sister's not getting any younger. I'm not getting any younger. You've just lost your dad. Mm-hmm. It makes you think. Everybody that's around something like that, they don't only think about the person that's grieving and mourning. They think about, our time on this planet.
Your mortality is absolutely front and center.
I believe that I can do better when it comes to the relationship I have with that family. With both my sister and my brother-in-law, I won't count their kids in it, but it's something that I have always probably wanted more of. Because of my own angst, which I just demonstrated. Yeah. Because you're saying, "Oh, that's there's nothing wrong with that. That's me. That's the way."
But
I
you
roll.
Also have had sort of, and this is not negative, a checkered past with your sister and her husband, right? I mean, it's not always
there have been sunshine and lollipops. The older sister, younger brother, baby brother in this case, a relationship with a seven-year age difference. I don't think it's unusual to have, I don't call it estranged. I don't call it strange. I sent her a message. She got right back to me. I think that... I think that I want more out of it, and I would have regrets if she weren't around about what we have. I have a tremendous amount of esteem for her. I love my sister. I do. What is that? Because we're defensive in our family, we don't like to lay it all out on the table.
Mike, let me just tell you this. I made what I thought was going to be kind of a lame New Year's resolution.
Scoob. I'm sorry to hear you're dealing with that. Sorry about that. Yes.
My New Year's resolution was to tell more people that I love them. Because at the time of New Year's, there was, some indecision or uncertainty about where my father was headed. And I got to think about, there are people that I lost that I never said it to. and you need to let people know. And I mean, it's the last thing.
Jerry Lewis.
I sent him a telegram. But with my dad, I will always know that the last thing I said to him is, I love you. And I have to hope he heard it. But when you say you hold your sister in high esteem, that's a little defensive. But really, what you're saying is, yeah, well, beyond that, you love your sister.
I love my sister. She really can make me laugh. I admire what she's done with her beautiful kids and their beautiful families. And it's something that I think we have. I had somebody, I'm really laying myself bare today. I had somebody.
It'll help. It's good.
Therapy, mm-hmm. when I was dealing with the angst of going up to where my cousins and my sister are during the summer and not feeling like I was part of it. And the therapist said to me, and I buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
The therapist said, why are you pursuing something you can't have? And it made sense. And you see a lot of that online nowadays. You see a lot of people giving that advice that you should not try to keep going back to a situation that makes you unhappy. That's a big, big theme in psychology.
It has an overlap with literal insanity, where you do the same thing every time, expecting a different result.
And you're wanting to be in that.
But it built your career.
You mean the brokenness?
Yeah, yeah. And going, going to a job and going into that environment every day.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was different. That was what we call the golden handcuffs. That was the golden handcuffs, Josh. That was what that was all about. But that certainly didn't help because there was a harshness, and there is a harshness in the business of show that, totally screws up. It Fs up your entire existence.
Let me ask you a question that I don't think we've ever covered. Do you think you were broken before you got into the business, or getting into the business, did that break you, or is it something in the middle? Because when I got into the business, I don't think I was broken. I don't think I was broken yet.
Are you sure? Are you really? Are you sure you want to stick with that one?
Uh-huh. I was
latchkey kid sitting in front of the TV, Mike, wanting daddy to be around. Come on now, really?
Hey, some things never change.
That took 30 years to figure out you were conceived out of wedlock.
Yeah, I'm a bastard, Josh. You can say it.
Well, I'm just saying. Maybe there were some broken things beforehand.
No, but you see, I found that out after I got into the business. You know what? I had never been, and you know sort of the history of who I worked with, Mike.
Tissue day. Somebody said tissue day. No, nobody's going to effing cry, you ass. It's not going to happen here today. But I think the answer to your question, wait a minute. Let me answer your question that you asked.
All right.
The answer is yes, I was before. 100%. Okay. Guaranteed.
And to me, I had never been in a situation until I got in the business where I was constantly diminished. Constantly. Every day. And that, I think, is what broke me. And it didn't take very long for it to happen because, you know, you have to bend or break. And if you're constantly being told you suck or something to that effect, or you can't do this right, or you're not doing this right, that'll break you.
And it causes you to do more wrong when you're treated like that.
And think less of yourself. Yeah. I mean, it really does. And so I think that, would you say that the business broke you more?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So we can agree on that.
Yeah. We worked with a guy that was difficult. That's all it is. I don't care if anybody knows that my relationship and your relationship with Don was difficult. It was. Yeah, it was difficult. It was difficult for him. He worked at 26 radio stations. It is something that I look back on, and I'm happy for all the monetary success and all the other successes that I had. But I'm very, very... I certainly don't look back on that with regrets because of the success. But at the same time, I know how it further brought to the surface all the insecurities I already had. And I think that's not an accident. That people that are in this business, you've got that. And you've got people that are broken but dominant that get over on people that are broken and not dominant.
Right.
And that's our business. You can look at it. You can see with Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon. You can say, the only thing that I did differently than anybody else in our jet stream, and Rob was around when this happened occasionally, I would get to a point where I would rebel and I would stop taking crap. Because it would, you know, there was a feeling of that's enough.
Yeah.
And it was a difficult environment. And I think, it enhanced the problems that we had.
The one, you know, upon thinking on it, the one break I probably had or crack in the whole system, the thing that broke me or started it, is you said, you know, coming from a broken home with my folks divorced, although I've been reflecting on it, and I think I probably had better parents growing up than most people that parents, they stay together. It was great.
Yeah.
But I was, because of that, forced to spend a lot of time with extended family. And my mom was one of eight kids, and I was only 9 years younger than the youngest, so I was sort of like the ninth kid. I always craved attention, spoke out in class, and stuff like that. And that I turned into this. I wanted to make people laugh. I wanted to make people look at me. And I think if that's not being broken, that's certainly hairline cracks that can lead to being broken.
Yeah, and so we all dealt with that. And I think that... you know, if you keep going back and pursuing it, but with a family member, it's different because there's the blood relation that I have.
Oh,
and
you
I
can't think that sever it's something. It. Yeah.
And I am hesitant because I don't want to leave myself out there. And I think I've made overtures before, but not as directly as I could have. And I think I can.
I think you should.
I'm going to.
I 100% think you should.
And I don't think it's going to be phone or text. I think it's going to be face-to-face, and I think that's the way it should be. But
so you'll have to fly to Colombia where she's spending the winter? Is that how it's going to work?
No. It's just but love, admiration, respect,
does she know you have all of that toward her?
Probably not.
You need to tell her, man. You need to tell her.
I want to find out. If my moving away, backing away from being up in that area in the summertime had any kind of effect, I'd like to know that, or whether she even noticed. I don't know. I'd like to know. And I don't, it's not like I want to hear yes. I just am curious about
it. You want to know.
Because I've thought it's complicated. I'll let you know. A work in progress.
I would think that there is a very good chance she wrestles with similar demons, but neither of you have reached out to confirm it. Because sometimes it's nice to leave it in doubt because you know you're not going to hear what you're afraid you're going to hear.
Yeah.
But all I can just offer this is get to her and let her know how you feel because it's very positive. How is she going to take it wrong? She can't.
Yeah. You're right. Okay. All right, that's
you know?
It. And you know the thing is though with my family, the way they're super sleuths, sometimes this is the clip that does say, "Hey, I heard I'm talking about."
Yeah. What do you bet that today we get 8 billion downloads because everyone wants to hear it? Bit me on the ass before.
But yeah, and by the way, Jacob says to Rob, "Look how many people you have been here for you all talking to you right now, Rob A. You have nailed it." 100. That's why we show up and watch. What is he referring to?
I would like to say, you know.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Like I said, I like to tell people I love them. I'd like to tell Jacob to study grammar because that's the last thing I'm going to say.
What is he referring to? Come on.
No, I think he's agreeing with what I said about telling people the way you really feel.
I wasn't listening. What did you say?
I said. And also, I think he's appreciative of the fact that we open up our hearts on this show. Not always, but sometimes.
No, I mean, you protect yourself, but this incarnation is more, I'm more comfortable than I've ever been in my own skin. And there are varying degrees. My emotional strategy when people are on this show and leave for whatever reason is usually... see ya, and I don't look in the rearview mirror, and I don't feel that that's necessarily productive because my fear is if I do that, then I'll open myself up to being, feeling like crap again, and I don't want to go through
that. That's because you have your tendrils back in the old business, though, you know, where you think of someone who is not with you is certainly against you, and that's how I was brought up through the system, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would... have literal wars with other people that we were on the same radio station as. That doesn't make any sense at all, because you want the radio station to excel.
I am watching, and not to get political, but I'm going to get political, so bear all with right. me. I am watching Rand Paul, a man that I do not necessarily agree with politically,
right.
grilling the new nominee for head of Homeland Security. I think his name is Mark Wayne Billy Bob.
He does
something.
Have a hyphenated first
Mullins,
name.
Right?
Yeah. Mullins.
Or something.
Yeah, Moon Mullins.
And you want to talk about broken. You want to talk about Rand Paul is trying to get this guy to just acknowledge and apologize that he should not have said he understood the guy that attacked Rand Paul. Rand Paul went through, remember when he got tackled in his backyard by his neighbor?
Yeah.
And Rand Paul is going through all of the injuries he sustained, what he went through with that, exactly. And this guy won't yield. And I realized that, you know, we think the business of show is take no prisoners tough.
Oh,
the business,
my God.
The business of politics.
Yeah.
Well, you cannot even conceive how broken a person is. By the most broken of all being the president of the United States. It's incredible. It really is. What were you going to say, Josh?
Well, none of them can ever admit wrong or ever admit
a
mistake.
That's the new thing. The new thing is never yield, never admit when you've made a mistake.
Correct.
And I liked him as a president, but we took a turn when we elected Bill Clinton because he was the first president we ever had that just set out to be president. That's what he wanted. He didn't serve in the military. He lived his life, and then he worked up through the... He didn't have a history to back up what he was saying. He
troubled,
was a very...
Troubled family life, too.
Yeah.
Very troubled family
very,
life.
Very slick, wonderful politician. And
right.
I've been in a room with him. It's electric.
But
it
you know,
genuinely
you can't
is.
Blame, you can't blame at all on unstable... broken home type family because you got Barack Obama on that side.
True.
Who, you know, came up with probably the least issues of anybody, but the ambition is still there. And then you go right to George Bush, who had a fabulous family of service that he did.
I've worked with his family. They're amazing people.
But I'm watching this exchange and I'm saying to myself, this is the seat of power in America right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that and it also proves that this Mark Bobby Sue, whatever his name is,
Mullins.
might be like a former mixed martial arts fighter, and he challenged a guy to a fight. This guy, it's so ridiculous. It really is. And physical courage does not necessarily translate into moral courage.
You're absolutely right.
And I'm watching this and just so all I was saying to myself is, you know, acknowledge the fact that this guy was completely effed up by this attack.
Right,
and nobody deserves that political violence to be dumped on him. And that's all he was trying to get the guy to say. Come on.
Right. You can easily say, like, I understand his frustration, but he took it too far.
Mm-hmm.
And he should never attack, no matter how many leaves you put in his yard.
That would have been, I don't know if it would have been 100% acceptable, but it might have been better than what he did, right?
It would be a nod. It would be at least an acknowledgement.
And now this sparring that goes on where the people that are going before Congress, the new playbook is give it as good as you get. It's just... You know,
none of
we're
it's
so
helpful.
After.
None
no.
of it gets us anywhere. And
no.
And I feel for Rob having to fly on Saturday with the government shutdown still going on.
Oh yeah,
what would I do if he said that about me? I would go out of my mind right now. I'd probably take the train after what Josh just said.
I would be so scared. My flight is at 8:30. I will get to the airport at 6, and that's no fun. But I mean, I got to get home. And every day when I watch David Muir, I get pissed off all over again the fact that these TSA agents are showing up without pay. Yeah. I mean, just so we can travel.
Well, you know, we've gone way hideous. Too long in this opening segment, which always tells me it's a good segment. And I've been informed by the powers that be out of Jacksonville, St. Augustine, Florida, that I have to... get a new commercial and read it live on the show. Let me Let me get my specs here. Do you want to give any kind of information on this commercial and why you wanted me to read it live?
It's very clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I'd like for our show to skew a little younger. I think that's good.
So you have included jargon?
The kids will eat it up.
All right. So I'll do the best I can. I have not
Thank
read
you.
This yet.
All right.
Bet. Lock it in. Pack the drip. We outside. The TMOS crew is spinning the block back to the ocean, and it's about to be full send, zero chill, and absolute cinema F real. Vibe check.
Mike, for real.
Am I supposed to say for real?
For real, yeah.
Oh, let me try again. Yeah. All right. And it's about to be full send, zero chill, and absolute cinema for real vibe check.
Nailed it.
Thank you. Y'all said lower the price, make it longer, give us a heads up. We said bet. Say less. Done and dusted, no cap. We getting all up in the brand new Margaritaville at sea. Islander. Oh, let me do it. I'm sorry. I thought that was jargon again. We're getting all up in the brand new Margaritaville at Sea Islander. We jetting on January 21st, 2027. It's going to be straight gas, no brakes. Roll through with Mike, Rob, and Josh for a five-day, four-night main character arc. We talking big laughs, unhinged moments, low-key chill, high-key chaos, and exclusive TMOS sauce you can't get anywhere else. For real, for real.
I love the sauce.
Departing Tampa. Okay, big flex. We see you. We see you. We see you. 2 days at sea. Vibes on vibes. Immaculate only. Cozumel on Saturday. Touching sand, but make it elite. We out there. One more sea day before Monday. Gotta love a soft landing, yo. We love that for you. Expect live pods. We going crazy. Meeting and greeting. Don't miss out, unk. Exclusive events. You had to be there energy. And gift bag that's high key stacked. No lies detected. Nothing mid. This joint slays.
Amen.
Tap in at MikeOMaraShow.com for all the deets, all the tea, all the everything. Don't lag. The best cabins are about to be snatched up quick, fast, in a hurry. Move now or stay mad before they gone. Blink and it's clipped. Don't play yourself. It's going to be iconic, unreal, and low-key life-changing, period. It's bussin' bet. There you go. Welcome back to the show.
This is the best way to get your TMOS sauce, is to go sauce. On this boat ride. Yes.
Sauce, baby. Hit the news sounder. I'm ready to do the news now, everybody. Bet.
Bet.
Josh, you have a 12-year-old. Do you think he got the delightful patter down a little bit on that?
No, but I think it works.
Would it be skewing more rapper skewing, and less 12-year-old?
It's skewing more 18, 20-year-old, I think, not 12-year-old.
Ah, okay.
So we're gonna, maybe, we'll skew it yeah. younger for next year, next
oh, good.
Week.
Mm. Next week, very good. Back to the drawing board, but I still liked it. I think everybody did too.
Yeah, and right now, Josh, we're going to do something. It's called low-key tidbits, and these are bits of news that Mike does that are low-key, but bet you're going to love them.
All right.
Bet.
Come on, man.
Bet.
Come on, man. Hold on.
I think the best part of the spot was the first
computer.
Bet.
I hate the soundboards that we use on this show. I truly do.
They've never made a good one, Mike. I told you this.
Well, when's the last time you checked to see if there's a good one out there?
A couple weeks ago.
Really?
I check all the time.
All the
time. How come they don't make a new one?
I can't answer that, Mike. It's low-key hassle.
Gas prices are crazy right now, and while it's nice that there are a bunch of articles floating around teaching us fuel saving, it's also annoying. The best piece of advice is to go buy a hybrid.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Whose burp was that?
That was mine. I thought I could get away with it. Hey, I'm in mourning. I got a mute button right here. I just rolled the dice and
really
lost.
You really got away with it. All right. So
I haven't pumped gas in 3 weeks.
Carla's got a hybrid. It's bliss. It's bliss. I mean, it's incredible. I think that's
the best way to save money is buy a car and then go to Florida for 4 weeks. And then you don't buy any gas at all.
I get the impression you are really looking forward to get off that airplane and drive your car around.
I want to drive my beautiful car. And I haven't had the opportunity. The last time I drove it, Mike, it was like a day that school was canceled. The roads were crappy. And okay. I had to go out. So I'm ready to learn it.
All right, here are the very, very cliche-ridden suggestions to save money. Don't go faster than 65, blah, blah, blah. Use cruise control more. All right. If you see a red light up ahead, ease off the gas early and coast for a while. Yeah, that'll make the people happy in back of you.
Sure.
Make sure your tire pressure is correct. I know that. Underinflated tire, blah, blah. Reduce your car's drag by removing roof racks or bike racks. Now that
one
I still
have all. Yeah. You have all the racks on your car, so they'll.
Yeah, for all my 10 speeds.
Yeah, exactly. And also, my car is got a lot of. It has Ted Cruz control.
And the last one is a real F you one. Consider carpooling. F you.
Oh, bite my ass.
Right.
How about siphon your neighbor's gas?
There you go. Beautiful idea.
And
I like
the old-fashioned way, I want to hear you suck it with a hose. I don't want the pump. You got to use it with mouth.
Here's a quick question. Do you know what a flamper is?
Yeah, the dancers in the 1920s.
That is incorrect. Let me explain. You're tired from a long day. You're about to get into bed, so you take off your clothes, put them on the floor next to you, and fall asleep. Those clothes are now in the flamper.
Yeah, buddy.
That's the floor hamper.
The floor hamper?
The floor hamper. A lot of these clothes aren't dirty, and if you only wore it once, does it really need to get washed right away? Gross.
That is gross.
If not, the flamper is a perfect place to store them in the meantime. Jeans might be an exception. I think jeans can be worn a couple of times.
Depends on the day.
If you've had an accident in your pants,
yeah,
maybe
exactly.
not.
Exactly, yeah.
Some people have a big chair to get all their clothes tossed on. They call that the champer.
I have a big chair that I use to help me get dressed in my bedroom.
It's called a walker.
No, this is, why are you giving a name to someone being a piggy? Because you're just throwing your clothes on the floor. Don't be a dick. Hang it up if you're going to use it. And then go and spend $2 and buy a basket at Pier 1 and put your crap in that.
I put it away. I put it in the flamper.
Flamper. Yeah. Okay. Flamper on the floor.
That's making something up that doesn't exist. Boo.
A year after Val Kilmer's death, he's going to appear in a new movie thanks to the magic of AI. The film is called As Deep as the Grave, and writer-director Coerte Voorhees says he wrote the part specifically for Val. Filming originally began in 2020, but by that time, Val was having a really tough time. Voorhees knows some people will be against the AI thing, but he says, quote, this is what Val wanted. He also got permission from Val's family. His Val's daughter, Mercedes, confirmed that, saying, quote, he always looked at emerging tech with optimism as a tool to expand the possibilities of storytelling. This spirit is something that we are honoring within this specific film, of which he was an integral part. So I don't know, and it doesn't say, whether they will go back to really, really old school footage of Val or whether it might be more recent.
I don't appreciate this. I mean, I know that, like...
Of course you don't. You're old school. You're gone with the wind.
But I mean, like, you know that Nancy Marchand, who played Mama Soprano, died between seasons. And they had to AI, or in those days, I guess, Photoshop, or use some sort of digital technology to play off her death in the episode. And that was already in motion. I don't like this, and the reason I don't like it is I think it diminishes Val Kilmer. I think he's a great actor, charismatic. When I think of him in The Doors, I think it's one of the greatest performances ever, to a point that when I think of Jim Morrison in my head, I picture Val Kilmer. Mm-hmm. And he lived such a great legacy. He did a great documentary about the end of his life. Leave him lay. Let him rest in peace.
The proof will be in the result. We'll see what happens. They've made so many strides in it right now. Hey, Super Chat comes to us from Racer PGT. Thank you very much. Says, I hate hiding behind usernames. Mr. Roboto. Tomo Arigato,
Mr. Roboto.
North Korean elections. Sudo Teda Holy. That's the North Korean news lady.
For my money, you could end the story there.
They're not like American ones where everyone is equally split. They're more like, are you pro-mosquito or anti-mosquito? North Korea just held an election. Yeah, they really did. And the turnout was 99.9% because it's required. And the supreme leader, Kim Jong-un, got 99.3% of the vote. That's 0.7%. It didn't get... Oh, my God.
That's a pretty good result for him, though.
Yeah. It's really not. It's notable not for how high it is, but for how low it is. This is the first time since 1957 that anyone has voted against the regime, or the first time their state media admitted to it, at least. There aren't any official numbers, but estimates say there are more than 18 million eligible voters in North Korea, and 0.07 of 18 million is around 12,000 people. So 12,000 very, very bold people may have voted no. There's no opposition in North Korea. You can just vote for or against. And the votes are not secret either. So people online are saying that North Korea's population is about to drop by 0.07% in the coming months.
Mike, you know what can fix this? Mail-in ballots.
Yes, yes, that's right, Rob. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's great, Rob. I appreciate it.
Nice beaver.
Hey, yes. That's not what I wanted to play. I wanted to play this, the sound for the news. Finally, we have seen plenty of high-speed chases involving criminals, but this one, well, not so much. Police in Florida were chatting with a 28-year-old suspect named Chase Cruz on Monday when he suddenly ran off. I gave this to Josh to share with our listening audience with video of Mr. Chase Cruz, and he runs into the river.
Talk to a lawyer for advice before we ask you any questions, to have a lawyer present.
Oh, hey! There he goes.
Oh, look at him go.
He's running to the
white
river.
Male, blue shirt, white shorts, southbound on peninsula.
Running. He's in the river.
Yeah.
They're on paddle boards. Those are the cops. And they're going out to fish him out. Looks like he's having a little trouble in the river.
Yeah.
Jail is better than drowning, apparently. And now one of them, there might be a protocol for that, because it looks like that one cop is staying on the paddleboard and letting the other guy get in. And he looks like as much as you can be. When you're drowning, you can be a lot more cooperative. So,
yeah, I think
there
so.
There he is going in there.
People always think they can outrun. It never works.
I don't. Never have.
I'll swim away.
I fall to the ground and go into a fetal position.
Chase was charged with loitering, resisting arrest, and prowling. Now, prowling, if you're curious, is legal in some parts of Florida, like the villages. Am I right, ladies? Yes, sirree. All right, we got to take a short. We'll come back with more fun and thrills. You are listening, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Folks, I'm not getting any younger. In fact, none of us are. It seemed like energy crashes at 2 p.m. became my new normal.
So naturally, I went down to the internet rabbit hole and started Googling symptoms like a hypochondriac. Low T kept coming up. Here's the thing. Doctors act like testosterone replacement therapy is no big deal. Just weekly shots for the rest of your life. Cool. Thanks, doc. Then you dig deeper and you realize what you're actually signing up for. $3,000 a year to shut down your body's natural production forever. Terrifying. So I'm making things easier on my body the natural way. I'm taking Mars Men, a natural testosterone stack that optimizes your body's ability to forge usable testosterone. Mars Men is like hitting the reset button on your hormone factory instead of shutting it down. It gives me more consistent energy, stronger lifts, and better focus. It's a steady drive all day, not the quick spike you get from caffeine or injections. Plus, there's a 90-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Thousands of guys are feeling incredible results. Just check it out. Check out the reviews on the website and see for yourself. For a limited time, TMOS listeners get 50% off for life plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. It's a perfect way to start feeling strong right away. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and 3 free gifts when you check out. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that TMOS sent you. It was really hard getting in that suit at the end of that commercial.
I thought it
really
looked great. You looked like Iron Man.
I
thought getting it off was the problem.
Well, then he put it in his flamper.
Flamper. On this show, back in the day, we spent a lot of time on Bob Barker for a variety of reasons. We loved, I loved doing an impression of him. It was always fun. We had the pleasure of interviewing Bob out at Television City. And it was fun. And so Bob Barker has always been kind of floating around this show. When did Bob buy it? When did he buy the farm?
Bob passed away in 2023 at age 99.
99. God bless him. And you have some Bob Barker info for us today, Rob.
Mike, the headline reads, and I quote, former Price is Right model exposes dark truth about Bob Barker era.
Oh, no! Another spokesmodel making me uncomfortable after my death.
Bob, do you remember the three original? And did you know that the Barker's Beauties were named after Charlie's Angels? It was a homage to them.
Really? That's what I had no idea. Let's play Plinko.
So the three original models, if memory serves, Diane Parkinson, Janice Pennington, and the one we're going to discuss today, Holly Hallstrom.
Brunette.
Redhead.
Redhead. No, that's a brunette.
Well, I remember her with red hair, but yeah, you know what?
Looking at a picture of her as a brunette.
Okay, you know what? Sometimes models change the color of their hair. They do.
All right. All right, Mark Wayan. I'm just sitting there with photographic evidence that's right in front of your eyes. It's, there it is.
Now, as I found an older picture of her, it is still brunette, but it leans a little bit more red.
Do you have it available? Is it? Can you show that to us? Here we go. That's Ms. Hallstrom.
Ms. Hallstrom, and she's interviewed on a show that's on the E! Network, and it is called, let me get this name right, The Dirty Rotten Scandals is on. Is that
Dirty Rotten?
That's a little reddish.
It's a little bit more.
Yeah. All right. Yes. And that's also much, much more recent if you look at her.
Well,
face.
Everybody gets older, Rob. I mean, it's part of life. That's the way goes. Hello, Holly.
When Holly was told to come on down and audition for the show, she was sold. She thought it was going to be like a circus, she thought it would be fun. Every day.
Here's the story of a man named Brady. That's just for people that are watching on TV. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
She said it was big, bright, and colorful, and it was a wonderful environment. And she says, I'm going to work at a place where people win money and prizes. But, says she, there was a change in the environment. She says, and again, I quote, I was very young, and at that time, everyone was getting breast implants. They were kind of the new thing, and I loved my job. I thought, this is what you have to do. If you're going to be an actress on TV, you have to look the part. I thought it was just part of getting the job, having the job, and keeping the job.
Rob?
Bobby?
I thought they were spectacular.
Were you in favor of the implants?
All the models on The Price is Right should have big, gigantic gazongas.
Hey, here's a question, Bob. We haven't talked in a while. How do
you feel? Rob.
How do you like the new male models on The Price is Right?
I think it's bullshit. Come on now.
What about Drew?
Drew is a pale replica of me. To even say my name and his in the same sentence is an absolute blasphemy.
So she goes on to say she got her breast implants and she hated them. I hated them for years and years. And the fact that I had to pay for them didn't surprise me because the executive producer was so cheap. He said, I'm not paying for them. You want this job? You pay for your implants yourself.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's Bob, a little
that
harsh.
All happened. Bob, Price is Right's your show.
But I was not the producer. You're not going to throw me under the bus for that one. Let's go and see what's behind door number three.
The real friction between you and Holly, I know you'll remember, has to do with the Diane Parkinson allegations.
I had a relationship with Diane Parkinson.
Sometimes, was it consensual?
When you go to a buffet and there's filet mignon on the table, you're going to make an attempt to grab for it.
So she was asked to do a press tour and say that Bob was innocent of any wrongdoing, and she refused to do it. And then her line is, that put me on Bob's shit list.
So they asked her to go on a show and say that Diane Parkinson was lying.
Yeah. And that she refused to do it.
Did she know for a fact that Bob had gotten jiggy with it with Diane Parkinson?
And it's always a little fuzzy for me because he said that it happened, but it was consensual. And how can you really prove that in a court of law? But I tend to think that a man in that position of power, and a good-looking man, and a man who'd been single since Dorothy Jo Barker died in 1981. A man has needs.
Holly, I want you to see my microphone.
It's very long, Bob.
Talk into the microphone, Holly!
And let me be appropriate, Mike. It's Dorothy Jo Barker, nay Gideon. She was
Dorothy Jo was the love of my life. How much it meant to me.
Holly refused to perjure herself. And then to combat this, Bob Barker comes and says, we're going to fire Holly, but he can't fire her for not testifying. So he fires her by saying she's overweight.
I thought she was fatty, fat, fat, fat. Fat Rob, fat, fat, fatty, fat, fat.
Is that why you arranged for the producers to show her behind cars and appliances?
I wanted Holly. The truth of the matter is I wanted Holly, and I will use your line. I will use it, Daniel Thurber. I wanted Holly to do what Diane Parkinson did. Let me do coke off of her boobies. That's wonderful. Yay. Hello, Holly and Rod Roddy. Lock that door.
Now, was Rod ever handsy with the girls?
No. Rob had other proclivities we're not going to discuss here.
Did he have trouble with producers?
Have fun in Thailand, Rod!
Now, also, Mike, there's a producer that says the entire show, the entire set, was toxic, and that sometimes she'd be in a elevator with another producer, and he'd just grab her breasts.
You know, can I just, look, I do not in any way diminish anything that may have happened, and it's terrible, but it's just when I look at that show, I think to myself, you know, when you don't have the pressure of creating, really, really creating, it's just amazing. It just shows the business of show, why we're all broken and how that happened. I don't doubt for a second that it was toxic. You know, they had nothing to do, but, you know, if they were behaving like that, if Bob was behaving like that, if the producers were behaving like that, of course. And those bastards with, you know, with Bob Barker and with, you know, with the producers of the show, what an easy gig.
And
keep
no
your
pressure.
Hands to yourself and no that pressure. Show wasn't no, come anywhere. On.
And cheap to produce, A-holes. An actual license to print money. Last question, Bob.
Yes. I'm it here.
It says you consistently denied wrongdoing and maintained that all relationships were consensual. How did you deal, and I didn't realize this, that at this time, how did you deal with all the hate mail you got?
I would throw it in the trash. I had. Who was the producer of the show? Do we remember that?
No, that was unnamed in the in
unnamed
the
producer. I would have one of my assistant directors put a giant oil drum in back of Television City, and then I would have him bring that mail down there and set it afire.
What town is Television City in?
Television City in Hollywood.
So, Bob.
Yes,
now
Rob.
That you're gone, I'm sorry that this is happening. This,
I understand.
This is a bad thing, but at least you're in heaven with Dorothy Jo Barker, nay Gideon.
How about a bump? Let's put it on the back of Holly Holstrom's tramp stamp. Hello. Wonderful. Yes.
Blow off of the beauty's breast.
Let me ask you this, seriously, before we wrap this up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that... I would like to think that maybe it wasn't true, but probably it was. Now, did Diane Parkinson, she alleged it was not consensual, right?
Harassment, sexual harassment. Was okay. But I have always felt deep in my heart of hearts that she probably saw an opportunity. And, you know, maybe she seduced and trapped him.
That's very 2026, Rob. Way to
Thank
go.
You.
That's great. We have to
I tend to agree with a man as a rule.
There you go. And
girls can be teachers and secretaries and stewardesses, and that's fine. But, you know.
Just send all your cards and letters to Rob Epstein, ladies and gentlemen. Go right ahead.
Wonderful.
We've got more show coming up. We'll be right back after this, everybody.
Nothing hits home like home cooking. And HelloFresh makes it unbelievably easy to enjoy feel-good, flavor-packed meals night after night after night. Now, as you know, I'm a bit of a kitchen wizard, but let's be honest, there isn't always time to go full gourmet. That's why I love HelloFresh. It brings everyone to the table with meals that are simple, satisfying, and perfect for busy weeknights. Choose from over 100 recipes every week featuring cuisines from around the world. Bigger portions to keep everyone happy. You'll find more than 35 high-protein options weekly, including new Mediterranean and GLP-1 friendly recipes. Enjoy meals with three times the seafood at no extra cost. Or elevate dinner with new grass-fed steak ribeyes that are guaranteed to impress. Because when dinner tastes this good, nothing hits like home cooking. I use HelloFresh. My whole family loves it. You should too. Go to HelloFresh.com/TMOS10FM to get 10 free meals plus a free Zwilling knife. That is a $144.99 value on your third box. Offer valid while supplies last. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. HelloFresh.
Really want to thank everybody. You know, usually when I goose the super chats, everybody steps up, and they always do, and they've done it really, really well today. We appreciate it anytime you can send along a super chat for the show, and that the people that are the trolls will call that begging.
Yep. No,
I don't care. If you want to call it begging, I'll beg. That's fine. Peace.
Don't lower yourself, Mike. We appreciate your generosity because a lot of people don't realize this. You have to pay for your own breast implants.
There you go. And I'm in the mud already, Rob. Don't worry about it. I'm deep in the mud. Now, listen, I sent this along. Here's a programming note for the bonus show tomorrow.
Yes.
I want to take a deep dive into the world of clickbait, and I specifically shared one. And for those of you that enjoy a sexually charged content segment.
Yeah. You know. Even more so than the Barker segment?
I've got, because I am like many, many red-blooded American males, there's nothing I like more than an attractive, beautiful woman. And I think the algorithms will pop on. Now, it's not...
Barker.
Well, it's not really porn surfing, but it's, you know, but I get a lot of stuff. I get it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind doing a deep dive into it to show you what, yes.
Like we've been doing, bonus show members get an email today. They can join live at 4 p.m.
4 p.m. taping today. If you would like to join us for the bonus show, just remember, I'm a dirty old man. There it is. Generation Jones. You heard this term maybe 6 months ago, maybe a year ago.
Yeah, about right.
Generation Jones, part of the boomers. I've never really zeroed in on all these generations, and that makes me sound like an old guy. But because of the years that are mentioned, this particular clip about Generation Jones resonated with me. And I have to, even though I know nothing about it, agree with this woman 100%.
It's about Generation Jones. 1954 to 1965 is a micro generation within the baby boomers. They grew up mostly in the 70s and missed the 60s revolution. They transitioned from rotary phones to smartphones, typewriters to computers, and paper maps to GPS. But the best thing about Generation Jones, they're the best of the boomers and Gen X. Do you agree? Let me know in the comments and follow for more.
What happened to her video? Did that get messed up?
I don't know why we didn't see the video.
Okay,
but the voice is what we needed. Do you agree with her, Mike? That wise woman? Really?
Because
you're part of it?
I remember the
transition. Generation Jones. 1954 to 1965 is a micro generation within the baby boomers. They grew up mostly in the 70s and missed the 60s revolution. They transitioned from rotary phones to smartphones, typewriters to computers, and paper maps to GPS. But the best thing about Generation Jones, they're the best of the boomers and Gen X. Do you agree? Let me know in the comments and follow for more.
I do, Josh.
Since you are, Mike, since you are a Generation Jones person, does Generation Jones have anything to do with drawn-on eyebrows and misshapen noses?
Now, you know what? You are a bastard. I swear.
I know. We established that.
That is a perfectly normal-looking woman, and I don't know why you must throw rocks. I know, because you are not fortunate enough to be part of Generation Jones.
No, I'm an Xer, Mike. I'm an Xer.
Yeah, which is, you know, color me selfish. That's that should be on the bumper stickers of all Xers. Color me selfish. That's what it is.
The Gen X have videos like that, but it's all about growing up analog and then transitioning to digital.
Yeah, and you know what? Man.
Which is no transition at all.
They always talk about drinking water out of a hose. They do. Go they F do. Yourself. Out of a hose. I don't care about that. You
are
know
you
what?
Talking about boomers or are you talking about Gen X?
I think everybody talks about going out and playing outside and drinking out of a hose and coming home when the lights come on the street. I don't care about that. If you're drinking from a hose, good for you. But that does not define a generation.
Well, you're singling out one particular thing that I also did do. We did that on a regular basis. Yes. I don't consider that any big deal. I'm not going to go out and brag about that.
But Josh, don't you see that in many of those videos and also posts on Facebook? Yeah.
Yeah, the videos towards our generation, that's what they point to. Mm-hmm. They point to the lights and the and riding your bike and drinking out of water hose.
All right, so I would tell you that, let me throw a few Generation Jones things at you. I also, that she left out, because it's not all the good stuff. I really think that Generation Jones, that particular era, I really think that we honed and refined binge drinking. I agree. We were the first ones to really dive in where Friday night is drink till you puke night.
Yeah.
There you go, and
that,
everybody.
And you taught that to the Xers.
And that is not healthy.
You handed it down.
Not one little bit. But I do remember that when I was in the state of Connecticut growing up, 1977 was my 18th birthday, and I remember it was a really big deal because that was legal. You were legal to have a drink. And we all were trying to sneak into places well before that to get in and have it. So the alcohol gene was very active in that. Now, I will also tell you that based on my experience with people in my neighborhood, in my town, you know, I think we were also in pursuit of other substances as well. Substances were a big part of Generation Jones. They really, really were. I'll tell you what wasn't a part of Generation Jones, the lack of work ethic. I grew up in an area where it was a badge of honor, where at least where I was from, you just worked. There was no hanging around. There was no lying around. You didn't do that. Work was a big deal. Even when you were like 13, 14, 15. What's that?
You
needed
it.
That's why I drank.
Yeah.
That's where I drank. And we were, I think, that people born in that era, a lot of our parents, especially on the early side of it, were World War II veterans.
Of course.
And because of that, they didn't take a lot of crap.
No.
They did not take a lot of crap, and they were a lot more, I think the attitude of a lot of parents from that era were, you know, we survived a world war. You can go out and do whatever the hell you want. You're on your own. There was more personal responsibility back in those days.
Well, nowadays when we have a war, it's in the second page of the paper.
Isn't
because
that
no
weird?
One cares. Yeah.
Isn't
it
that,
is.
That,
it's
I mean,
weird.
It's just surreal. And how many people have we blown up and destroyed where we don't even blink over here because we don't get a whiff of it. I got news for you. What goes around comes around. And I think about that all the time. I think really that you never, ever know. You know, you align yourself with a country that is in full-scale war all the time. And I pray that something does not happen, but I worry that it could.
Luckily, we have a commander-in-chief who's a classy guy.
Amen!
See, we can't go wrong.
Wasn't part of Generation Jones. We'll take a break, and we will come back with some beautiful video right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. It's always a good time to better yourself. It seems like lately everyone's trying to clean up their habits, like Rob. And honestly, having one less drink has never felt easier for him. Instead of pouring a cocktail, Rob has been reaching for Sol's out-of-office drinks. Sol makes feeling good simple. They make delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products with precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulations designed for predictable feel-good effects. Sol is the alcohol alternative that puts you in control of your
your mood. And their best-selling out-of-office gummies deliver a customizable, calming buzz. From a 1.5-milligram microdose for a gentle lift to 15 milligrams for a deeper, more elevated experience. Josh is a gummy guy, too. He knows it's the easiest way to unwind without the grogginess or next-day regret of alcohol. Stay tuned for a Soul gummy announcement that will change your life. Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off. Be a Soul survivor. The cool things about the show we're doing right now is we're actually going back during an actual broadcast and giving you a highlight. This was a comment from Rob a little bit earlier in the show, if you were listening to it.
Was that I was reacting to your relationship with your sister, right?
Rob, thank you very much.
Can we do this?
That one's got a lot of... Yeah, we're running out of time. Okay. Go ahead.
Hey, please. I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Mike, hats off to Alabama, who saved a dog. Not the entire state, but people in Alabama found a dog with a bucket stuck on his head. And because they're clever, they named him Buck.
Buck the Bucket Dog.
Social media can sometimes get a bad rap, but there are times when it can bring people together for a good cause.
And that happened this week after someone in the Winston County area spotted a stray dog with a bucket stuck on its head. They posted pictures on Facebook asking for help trying to catch the skittish pup.
WBTM 13's Lisa Crane shows us the five-day crusade to save the scared dog and his buddy.
The lab mix, now called Buck, and his Belgian Malinois best friend they call Milo are relaxing in their new home after several people came together on Facebook to track their movements, trying to catch them and remove the bucket that was stuck on Buck's head.
It's not
that
funny, is it?
Paid off. I know. It is funny. They managed to trap them.
I come up behind him with a pair of snips.
Yeah, I come up.
And started cutting on the bucket.
Yeah, there you go.
We eased the bucket and got the bucket off his head. And it was
Senator
like
Mark Wayne Mullins.
As soon as that bucket came off his head, it was just, you could see the relief on him, and he just went almost limp.
Caleb Estill is an animal trapper. He was helping as well.
Limp's two syllables.
Milo was being very aggressive, not understanding they were trying to save Buck. Once the bucket was off, they both seemed to relax. Buck is being treated for a sinus and ear infection. Milo seems to have an injured hip and some cuts.
Now, Buck is doing pretty good right now, all things considered, but they're going to wait and let him get a little more settled, feeling a little bit better before he'll be available for adoption. But when he is, they're going to be very picky about where he goes. They think he will have veterinarian references, and they want to visit.
All right, we get it.
Thank you, Josh. And then Buck and Milo.
Did she fall?
Buck and Milo then killed.
Why do I laugh at that? I don't laugh at anything as much as that during the whole show. Did she fall? That's real Rob Spiewak right there, ladies and gentlemen.
And Mike, this is sort of a tradition. I like to play it every year, you know, the NCAA basketball, the brackets going on right now, the March Madness.
Yeah. We'll have our brackets coming up in June, so you might want to stay tuned for that.
And at least until tonight at 8 p.m., VCU is still in it. VCU, go Rams, go.
Are they doing the NCAA?
Today's the first day of the playing, yeah.
American University in it this year?
They're in the theater division.
They've been in the dance before. I know.
Back when you were on the team.
I'm so concerned. I don't know.
We'll look into that. But Mike, listen, because if they are, they will be in this song. Let us have the March Madness song 2026.
Horned Frogs, Tubal Docks, Jayhawks, and Hawkeyes, Blue Devils, Billikens, Bruins, Badgers, and Buckeyes, Red Hawks, Red Raiders, Red Storm, Crimson Tide, Fighting Illini, Rainbow Warriors, and the Pride, Royals, Raiders, Rams, Razorbacks, Huskies, Huskers, Three Wildcats, Cowboys, Longhorns, Bulls, Broncos, Add to Bison, there's still 32 to go.
Halfway there.
Tar Heels, Trojans, Spartans, Knights, Boilermakers, Cyclones, Hurricanes, Owls, Sharks, and Gators, Commodores, Cardinals, and the Cavaliers, Wolverines, Vandals, and the Volunteers, Paladins, Gales, Quakers, Saints, Lancers, Cougars twice, Tigers thrice, Three Panthers, from two Aggies to the Zips, that's it, write them down, fill out your brackets, it's March Madness!
And in honor of my father, I'll tell his favorite joke right now. The Cavaliers are in it, but they don't care if they win or lose.
They don't care!
They got their Cavalier attitude.
Has she fallen? My favorite part of the show came at the very end. We got to get out of here. Don't forget, we'll be sending out a very special email to all you Bonus Show subscribers to join us this afternoon at 4 p.m. for a bonus show where I will examine my inner dirty madness. That's what we will be doing.
Madness.
For Josh Sharoka and Rob Spiewak, everybody, this is Mike O'Mara. Said, see you next time.
Love you, Pop.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
So what do I want me to do, drop my pants and fire a rocket?
You jack with me and you'll be gone before you know it.